commitments that we really believe that if you really lock into these commitments, it's really foundational Christian truths that really help us in this walk that we're in today. So today we're going to talk about the church, the local church. And I'm excited about talking about that. I was praying today, walking in the park, just asking God, I really want to share my heart on the church and what the church has done for me personally. And I hope in some small way I can do that tonight, because I think the church is phenomenal. And oh, by the way, Jesus Christ is the Lord of this church. Jesus Christ will always be the Lord of this church. And Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And Jesus Christ can be the Lord of your life. Jesus Christ is what this church is all about. I hope you understand that. It's not about all the bells and whistles. It's about Jesus Christ. I have a quote here by D.L. Moody that I like. See, every Christian, I believe, needs a local church. D.L. Moody puts, "Church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man." And now, I don't know if it's... I kind of say that maybe it's not necessarily just the attendance of this meeting, but church attendance is a lifestyle. Being part of the church is really a lifestyle. Now, personally, I haven't really, compared to some, had that much church experience. When I was but a wee lad, my mother was very convinced that I needed to come to church with her. So I went to a private school at a church where I grew up in a little town in Iowa. And when I was born, my mother had me baptized as a little baby. And now as I think back on that, I think of it more as a sprinkling. Because really, before the age of one, I really didn't know what was going on. And then as I grew and went to different classes and whatnot, just a kind of little guy, I became an altar boy in this church. And so what that would mean is they put this gown on me when I was just a little boy. They put this outfit on me, and I'd go to church, and I'd go up front with the priest. And when he was doing communion and stuff, if I was really having a good night, I got to ring the bell. So like when he would do something, I'd go, chi-ling, chi-ling. And just I really had no clue what I was doing. But I knew that there was something kind of special going on, and I know that it really pleased my mom, and that was a good thing for me to be able to do that. So I'd go very early in the morning and put my gown on and go with the other altar boy, and we'd do our little thing. But I really didn't understand what was going on. I really didn't. You know, I forget a lot of things, even more and more in my old age, and maybe I just have filed that. I don't know. But I don't remember really having an experience with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. It was just kind of fun for me to go through that routine. And then as I got older, I had my first communion. I went and had communion. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Everybody else is doing it. I'll do it too. You know, and they gave me a wafer. You know, I remember the first time eating one, I was thinking, this is gnarly. What is this thing? You know, I put that in my mouth the first time as a kid, and I was just going, oh, what? Why do you guys do this every day? Some people do it every day. Still, just a little kid, I didn't understand that communion was done as reverence and remembrance of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I didn't know that. I just thought it tasted bad. And a little further down the road, got to a place called Confirmation. And this was just kind of like a graduation in my walk. And I in no way want to be disrespectful of any church in any way. I praise God for all churches, and I'm united with all churches. This is just my experience as a young boy. And so I went to Confirmation. My dad, he was not a church guy at all. So he wasn't in the picture. But he talked a buddy into coming, and you had to have I don't remember for sure the name, but it was like a chaperone or a representation. Someone had to come with me, an adult had to come with me during this confirmation. So I don't know if he lost a bet with my dad or what, but this guy came with me, you know, and he's a friend of the family's. So it was all in church and everybody's all dressed up. I remember we had white shirts and little bow ties and just cute little guys walking around. So we're all lined up in the gym, ready to get paraded into the church. All of a sudden I start not feeling very good. I told my friend, I said, Jerry, I don't feel very good. I don't know if I want to do this. And he said, you'll be okay, Steve. Let's just walk through this. So we started walking in this procession to the church, and I threw up all over the kid in front of me. I just lost it. And as a young boy, it's kind of a shy and sensitive kid anyway, and it's like, it's the worst thing I ever did in my life. I couldn't believe I just threw up in front of all of my classmates, all over this kid's shirt. I don't remember any of the rest of the day. My guess is they whisked me out of there, and my poor accomplice, and all that stuff's fine and dandy. It wasn't until I grew up older in life, until I was 37 years old, where I asked Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior. Then I understood. I understood what all this fuss was about. I finally got it. I finally understood that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And I asked Him into my life. And oh my goodness, I've been involved in a church since then. Constantly. Constantly. And I shudder to think where my life would be if I hadn't been involved in a church in the last 10 years the way I have been. I think it is just absolutely essential. I don't know where my kids would be. I don't know where my marriage would be. I wouldn't have the hundreds of friends that I have. The hundreds of brothers and sisters in Christ that I have. Hundreds of thousands. I've met a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ over the years. And it's been in this atmosphere, in this family, in this church, in this local church. And it was my commitment to this church and putting my life in the center of that, that I've taken refuge, that I've learned, that I've been directed, that I've been protected, that I've been provided for. In this body of believers, in this family, there is such sanctity, there is such life. If you are not part of a church, even if you're not going to be part of this church, you have got to be part of a church somewhere. That's where life is found. I would have been a fool not to have been locked in this whole time. Honestly, I don't know how bad I could have crashed because of the poor decisions, not seeking counsel, not having brothers and sisters that help me when I'm sick, not have brothers and sisters bring my family food when we're sick, not having a brother and sister come 100 miles down the road and fix my van or help me with a different van when the engine blows up. There are people in this church that would do almost anything for me and my family. I would never step out of that. That would be so foolish. And you, the same thing. We need that family. You know, I have some things written down here I want to talk about, but this is really what I want to talk about. Please, brother and sister in Christ, find a church, commit to it till you die. For the rest of your life, lock arms with brothers and sisters. Do not get left out. Be part of that refuge, that safety, that life. If not with this church, some church somewhere, you know, we've got a lot of things going on, but we make a lot of mistakes too. And that's just part of it. And that's okay. We work through it as brothers and sisters. We get past that. And that's what being part of a family is, isn't it? You go through the hard stuff together and you go further. Yeah, that was hard. Let's take another step. Let's work that out and be brothers and sisters and build the kingdom because Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. And He's called us to a purpose that's just way beyond what we can comprehend together in the local church is where God's going to do miracles in your life. I'm convinced of that. I am a testimony to you in my life. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Certainly, I don't know everything. Certainly, God is still teaching me lots of things through the church primarily. Through my brothers and sisters in the church. Oh, there's such safety. It's just like a transfusion of good blood. That's so true. I like that quote. I just about went all night just on that. It's just so critical. It is. Man, if you go away with anything tonight, I want you to understand that you need to be committed to a local church. And so do I. That's where our refuge is. So let's look at these two questions. What is the church? And what is the church's purpose? Well, the church is the body of Christ. Now, you probably heard that before. Well, what does that mean? Ephesians 3:10, the Bible tells us, Paul writes, his intent was that now, this, you pay attention to this verse now. His intent, God's intent, was that now, through the church, okay, that now, through the church, this is God's intent, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Through the church, God is going to show himself supreme. Through the church. That's, we know what the church is. We are the body of church, not just this church. All churches, all Christian churches, God are all part of the body, and God is drawing them to himself. Here's another good verse. In Romans 12, just as each of us has one body with many, many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We each belong to all the others, our brothers and sisters. We form the body. Jesus Christ is the head. And we need each other. Each one of us has different gifts and talents and abilities. Each one of us is at a different place in our walk. Each one of us has a different relationship with our Lord and Savior. And we need to share that with each other. We need to learn from each other. That's how we function as a body to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Each one of us has a vital role to play. And you might think, well, there's really nothing I can do. That's baloney. There's a ton of things you can do and that I can do. And God wants to put us together specifically to accomplish his purposes. He has. There's a reason for all this. That we have church every Sunday, that we do next level, that we have small groups, that we baptize people. On and on. There's a reason for all that. God is orchestrating in that as his body, you and I together, all the different parts, he is using us to move forward on this earth, to win people to himself. And like I said, Christ is the head of the body. In Ephesians 5, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Always will be. There's nothing that we've done so spectacular that we went ahead without him. Jesus Christ, ever since we moved here from Colorado to plant this church, Jesus Christ is the Lord of this church. And he always has been, and he'll always have his way with it. And his will be done. And we go and we pray every week. Every week we go and pray. God, help us with this church. God, direct us, protect us, show us things, provide for us. And he's so faithful. You know why? Jesus Christ is faithful to this church. He's the head. He loves this church. The Bible tells us that he loves the church. It is the most special thing to God, the church. The body, you and I, he is collectively drawing us to himself. All people in the world, all 6 billion or however many people there are in the world, God is wooing them to himself. And he is the head. It even says in Revelations, John writes, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. God is preparing his body as a bride. And you and I know sometimes, guys, for us, it's a little weird for us to get a grip on that. But you and I are being prepared for the King as a bride. And he's taking special attention. He's given each one of us special attention to prepare us for him. To prepare us for our King. We are collectively the body, his bride. And he is constantly at work trying to complete that, to bring us all into that, to make us all his bride till we're finally ready. When will that time come? When we're finally ready, when there's unity, when the body of believers across this world unite together as one, and we'll be a bride. And Jesus has promised us that he'll come back for us then. When we're ready, he'll come back for us. Oh, I pray that happens soon. That will be the time. When we are ready, he'll come back for us so we can be with him forever as his bride. Ready for him, ready for the King, our King. And there, we won't be able to take our eyes off of him. We'll say, there he is. There's my King. There he is. Here's another good quote. What is the church's purpose? This is from Rick Whitney. And I really like this quote. I believe that one of the single biggest decisions we will ever make as a Christian that will determine our success as a believer is whether we will commit to our brothers and sisters for life. Almost every major life lesson I have ever learned as a Christian was taught to me in my local church. It is in community that our life and our mission are worked out. And it is in our local church where we can achieve greatness. Amen. Be a part of that. Be a part of that. It is going on. Right now, in the world, every 25 minutes, it's like another Pentecost. 3,000 people get saved. Every 25 minutes, boom. Boom. People are getting saved. Now, you can be a part of that, or you can sit and watch. Because it's happening. Did you know that? It is happening in places like China. Who'd have thunk it? And we never thought we could ever, Christians never thought that would ever happen. People were afraid to pray for that. They thought, oh, that's too big. God can never save that communist country. It is happening. There is a revolution going on right now. How about Berlin? The Berlin Wall, remember that? It's gone. And when it came down, missionaries rushed in. It is happening in India, in Muslim countries. And incredible amounts of people are coming to the Lord. Bill Young is in Honduras right now. He's seen a tremendous amount of fruit. They're sharing. People are praying to receive Christ all over the place. It is happening. Be a part of this local church. Be a part of this revolution. Get in the refuge. Get in the excitement. It's incredible. We see people. How many people have been baptized here? Hundreds. God is at work, whether you realize it or not. God is at work. We don't want to miss out on that. And another thing, the church is not about this building or the Sandy building. The church is not about our structure. It's not about all the different things, ministries we got going on. The church is you. You and me. We are the people. We are the church. Take away this building and we are still the church. We are still the church. We have been praying and praying for a new building in Sandy. because it just got some issues with a really leaky roof, and we just haven't wanted to invest any money in it. One, because we don't have any, and another because we just don't know how long we'll be there. You know, we don't mind taking a step of faith or a leap of faith at times. But it's not about the building. It's not. If there are a bunch of people here, and there are, I know there's a core group of us that are locked and loaded and ready to run hard for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I just invite you to come along with it. And this week in staff, I've got a new idea for our Sandy Church. I'll show you. I've got some pictures here, but I was searching around. And I was thinking, you know, what could we do for a church or a church building? Because it's got a leaky roof and it really frustrates me. And anyway, here I'm going to take this to staff, see what you guys think. I think it's going to be pretty awesome. Here's a kind of a picture of it. They've got one in. Japan, I think. I'm not sure if there's going to be enough parking there, but I think that'll be pretty good. And this, what I really like about this feature too, the retractable roof. You think? I was thinking, I don't know, maybe this could be kind of like when you first come in, you know, kind of like where the climbing wall is and stuff. We could just kind of hang out there, and if it's snowing, we'll just close the roof, you know, but. If it's a nice day like today, wouldn't it be nice if the roof was open? I mean, we could just be out here. And if you look over back in the backside there, I'm thinking that could be like the stage where the band could be. And then maybe Bill and I, or whoever's teaching, could be out on one of those rocks out front. And we could just have like a killer sound system. Wouldn't that be nice, man? And there's some new ministries that could pop up. Like, this is a prayer ministry. These three girls, I'm pretty sure that they're praying together. And boogie boarding. I could pray and boogie board all day long. I don't know about you guys, but why not? You know, why not think out of the box? I think they'll go for it. I think most of you have heard what we believe God's called us to do for this church. It's win the lost, build the believers, send the sanctified. And Bill actually did a really good three-part series, a three-week series called Win, Build, Send. And I would suggest you get that sometime and listen to it if you really want to be a part of what we're doing here. Get on board, hear the vision, see what God's doing, see what we believe that God has called us to do in this church. There's much to do. There's plenty of things to do. If you want to get involved, come and talk to me. There's ways to do that. There's a lot of people here. And more people coming in and out. We praise God for that. He's at work. It's obvious. There's nothing special we've done. You know, the music rocks, but God put that all together. And you take that away and God is still going to be here. This is not about being entertained. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ, building that up, and going and winning more people for Christ. It's winning the lost, building the believer, and sending the sanctified. That's what we're all about. That's it. And if it's more warehouses and more places and more countries, that's what we're going to do. And we're not going to stop until we die. And we invite you to be a part of that. With your life, with your families. I'm so thankful that I've raised my kids. When we first moved here, my little kids, you know, we would go out on Saturday or after church, and I'd bring my kids to like the brew pubs and stuff. My little kids with my brothers and sisters. And we'd talk and laugh, and we were just always part of it. Just always part of it. And there's been such a healthy environment for my kids and for me to be with my brothers and sisters with a purpose. With a purpose. And that was to live our lives for Jesus Christ. And I do not want to stop that until I die. Because it's where it's at. It's where life is at. It is. Don't miss out. Get plugged into your local church. So let's look at when lost. I like this verse. The Son of Man came to seek and save that what was lost. Jesus Christ came to this earth to save the lost. That was me. Once upon a time, I was lost. I was lost. I found an ad in a paper for a church in Loveland, Colorado, Summit View, Colorado. I saw the ad. God led me to that church. The gospel was shared. I prayed, asked Jesus Christ into my life, understood that I was a sinner and I was in trouble and I needed a Savior, and I asked Him into my life, and I became a part of that church right then, that day. And I've missed very few services since then. Jesus Christ came to save the lost. And we are about that. Christ is using us to win people to Himself. It's obvious. We can see it. I can point to people in this church service that were lost but now are found. It's happening. And we're about it. We're not about to stop winning the lost. And we're trying to get it creative ways. We're trying to think of different ways to do that. Starting a campus ministry this fall. There's some energy going with that. You know, how about a Spanish rock? Hispanic? What do you think? Why not? Why not think out of the box? How about a church in Provo? How about a church in West Valley? How about a church there? That's what we are about. And we are not going to stop. Be a part of that for your life. I'm not just talking about for a while it feels good. For your life. I like this verse in 2 Timothy. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, His prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel. Join me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God who has saved us to a holy life, saved us to a holy life. I praise God for that. He has saved us to a holy life. He wants more for you and me. He wants more for you and me. He wants a holy life for us, a set apart life, a sanctified life. That's what our God, our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior wants for you and me. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. This is way bigger than you and me. God set this in place before the beginning of time. I don't know what that means. You can't really point to that. This is all part of His plan. This church is part of His plan. Other churches in this valley, in this world, are part of God's plan. And that's His vehicle to reach the rest of the world. He wants everyone to be His bride. He wants us all to be part of the body. Everyone in the whole world. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And He'll stop at nothing. And He wants to use us, because something happens when He uses us individually. When we're part of that process, it strengthens us in the body. It makes us stronger. It makes sense to us. It gives us purpose. It gives us a reason to get out of bed in the morning. It's a quote by William Tyndale I like. The church is one institution that exists for those outside it. And you can look at that and think, what about the body? What about us? Well, as I thought about this quote, us as a body, as we are really working together in unity, in love, really living it out totally, sold out for Christ, as we do that, we change the world. As we do that, as we go to our jobs, as we go to schools, we go to our families, we're changing society. This world is different. You know, a classic question is, would the world be any different if this church was not here, if it just shut down? Would the world be, you know, would it even really matter? Yes, it would matter. I talk to people all the time that depend on being a part of this body. I depend on it. If this wasn't here, I don't know what I'd do. And we want to win the lost. Together, as our body gets healthy, as we build it up and work on it, we affect people outside here. Just in our conversations at work, at school, in our family, how we raise our families, how we treat others. We affect the world. Build the believer. Well, what's that mean? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Let's bounce back. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them. Teaching them. What is building the believer? How do we build the believer? I don't know, maybe you could help me. This young man in the blue shirt here, could you grab that chair behind you and just come on up on stage here with me? And bring the other chair too. Man, you're on the spot, huh? Let's just set those down. You have to remind me of your name.
My name's Brian.
Brian. Brother, I'm going to disciple you. Okay, just kind of a practical, you know, display for everybody so they kind of know what this looks like. So how you doing?
Good.
Yeah? How are you in the G.O.D. doing?
We're doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You're doing pretty good. Yeah. You know, that discipleship is just basically loving each other and helping each other each and every day. You guys know that's what discipleship is? You know, that word sometimes like, oh, I'm going to disciple all these people. It's giving your life to each other. Just saying, how you doing? So you've been discipled. All right, thanks, man. It's good to go. You know, people tell me, I've heard various things before, you know, I've never been discipled. I want to grow as a believer. I want to change the world. I want to flip. I want to be the man God's called me to be. I want to be the woman God's called me to be. Well, do it. Come on, do it. I mean, seriously, building the believer together, we have to let down our walls, let people into your life. Ask people that might be a step ahead of you, hey, can I have coffee with you? Can I run some things past you? Build the believer. Build into each other. A lot of people that I spend time with. I have a lot of people that pour into me. But most of the time I call them up and say, can I spend some time with you? Or people call me, you want to go prayer walk? Well, that's what I do. Yes, I do. Building up, building up, building up. Consistency, just consistently, every day, me and God. I get out of bed, oh, hi God, me and you. Consistent. Yeah, I don't have any magic potion or any perfect formula to becoming a great man of God. And I am not a great man of God, by the way. But God is at work. He lives inside me. It's real. I can look back in my life and it's different. I'm different. And it just came from consistency and pure and simple devotion to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And doing that with a body of believers together. And doing it. Not just promising. Doing it. Yeah, I will meet with you. You know, lots of times my flesh cries out. And I would rather just sit and eat a banana or something. You know? But no, I am called to be part of this body and give my life to it. Each and every single day. And I invite you to do that. Don't miss out. It's not rocket science. Get in a chair, sit with somebody and ask them, how are you doing? How are you doing with God? How are you doing in that area? How are you doing in this area? Build the believer. We're called to do that. I like this verse in Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. That's what we did tonight. We sang with gratitude in our hearts. We were doing it. We were building each other up tonight. And I like what Hayden said earlier. Worship is a lifestyle. Don't get caught up in the music. Music's awesome. And God has gifted us with that. And that's a huge part of what we do. And God uses it to change the world. He uses music in a lot of different ways all over the world to draw people to Himself. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. But He wants more than that. He wants your very life and my very life as worship. Second Timothy 2:2, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Pass it on. Teach others. Pass it on. Multiply. 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 That's what we're called to do. Multiply. Even in our small groups, multiply. In our disciple groups, one-on-one, me and you, multiply that. Multiply that. You know, I can have a small group where all these people, let's say I'm the leader, all these people are coming to me. All these people. And, oh, man, my phone's just ringing off the hook. Well, multiply. Now there's two leaders. Praise God. Some of them come to Him. It just multiplies. It starts very small. Very small. One-on-one. The best accountability group you'll ever have is with one other person. One-on-one. Where there's no secrets. No secrets. Come clean. Open yourself up so that you can grow. We all need to do that. And send the sanctified. What is the church's purpose? To send the sanctified. I like this verse in 2 Corinthians. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced. For Christ's love compels us. Does Christ's love compel you? Because we are convinced that one died for all. I am convinced of that. So was Paul. And therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Bill talked about dying to ourselves several weeks back, and that's part of it. Honestly, that's part of becoming a church. Part of the body. It's dying to ourselves and being a part of this body to reach the world. I know oftentimes we don't want to hear that, but it's true. You know, in 1989, just a group of people in Fort Collins, Colorado, they just decided to take and make a little bubble chart. I love bubble charts, by the way. But these are just some good brothers and sisters, and they decided to plot a plan to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the craziest thing, they thought they were really going to do it. You know what? I still do. And they still do. And just took some, you know, these cities don't necessarily have any significance. They were just praying and trying to come up with a plan. Well, it's multiplying, guys. It's multiplying. Little bubbles. I was going to bring some of those blow bubble things, you know. It's happening all over the place. Can you hear them? I have cotton mouth, so I can really do a good bubble. But I'm a little nervous. Will you be a part of this? Will you commit? I've committed. I've committed to be a part of reaching this world for Jesus Christ. And I don't know where that's going to take me. But I'm not going to miss out. I don't want you to miss out. It's just all over the place. If you have a small group, multiply it. If you have a disciple group, multiply it. Multiply your life. Multiply. This is happening. Back then, this was kind of, these guys were just kind of daydreaming. But they cast a vision and started running for it. And this is just one part of our churches. There's churches all over the world now. Like 120 churches. And they're just popping all over the place. church in Fort Collins. They planted a church in Amsterdam. Planted a church in Salt Lake. I'm here to tell you, it happened. Really, Bill and I have talked and prayed about church. Salt Lake could just be a huge hub. Just geographically, it makes sense where we're at. A sending place to send churches all over the world. We could stay and plant churches in this valley for a long time, and we will. This church is not going anywhere. Just as Jesus Christ is faithful to us, His church, we'll be faithful to this church. I came to know the Lord in a church in Loveland, Colorado. I was a part of this church when we planted it. It has changed my life. If you really want to do something to impact your life forever, plant a church. Be a part of a team that plants a church. You will never, ever, ever, ever be the same. Because when you step into that in faith, you step out and say, I'm in. Something changes inside you. Something, God just says, I've got you. Here you go. Be faithful a little, I'll give you more. Be faithful as much. Honestly, this is happening. And even if you have a small group, you guys could start talking this way. Hey, what if we were the ones that were kind of part of the team to go to Provo? I know there's a whole row here that thinks that's pretty cool. What if we just start thinking, well, maybe I could be part of a Hispanic church. All of a sudden, a small group starts. All of a sudden, there's a band. It can happen. We like nothing more than helping people, enabling people to do things like that. Multiply, get an idea, get excited. You know what? I want to be a part of a church plant in West Valley. Well, I'd love to see a church in West Valley. Let's start praying about it. Pray, and then pray. And pray. That's how this church happened. We're scared out of our wits. Really, we were scared to come to Salt Lake City. It's like, oh, maybe Bill wasn't, but I was. But I knew God was in it. And I'll never be the same. Be a part of something like that. Like this verse in Romans. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's me and you. That's what we're called to do. Me and you are called to reach this world for Jesus Christ. And multiply again. There's a quote by Bill Hybels. He's been pretty good at this. The local church is the hope of the world. Now, if you didn't know Bill Hybels, you might think, well, that's kind of arrogant. The local church is the hope of the world. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. Jesus Christ alone is Lord and head of the church. Worldwide. Worldwide. And He is alone the hope of the world. Jesus Christ. He alone is the hope of the world. We have got to tell the world that. We have to do everything we can to throw in as a body to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Do you guys believe that? That's what the church is for. It's for living life. It's for raising our families. It's for helping the poor. It's for helping the sick. It's for helping each other. It's for iron on iron relationships. It's for discipleship. Everything. The church is the vehicle that God is using to reach the world. And you are a part of that. Or are you? You can be. I invite you. It grieves me to think that some are not. Why wouldn't you? You're missing out. It's not always easy, but it is incredible. It's incredibly exciting to think that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, uses us He loves it when we go out on the end of the branch to get fruit. We finally quit hugging the trunk. And we walk out to get the fruit. He just loves it when we step out in faith. I'm convinced of it. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. A good way to remain in him is through the church and other brothers and sisters encouraging you and I. Apart from me, says you can do nothing. I don't want to do nothing. I mean, there's time, sure, nothing's good. But for my life, I want to accomplish things for my Savior, for my King. Because He is so worth it. He's so worth everything I have. Be a part of the local church. If you're not going to be a part of this local church, be a part of a local church somewhere. Be committed for the rest of your life. And you will experience life. Apart from you, me, you can do nothing. I don't want to be apart from Christ, and I know you don't either. Jesus Christ is Lord of this church and always will be. I'm just going to close in a prayer now. Be a part of a local church. This commitment is critical to your Christian walk. Father God, I just thank you that I am part of a local church. I thank you that we are collectively your body. And I'm so thankful that you are the head, God, because I don't want to follow any other. I don't want to follow any other, God. It's you, Jesus Christ, that I strive to learn from, that I strive to follow, that I strive to obey, and strive to submit to. Father God, I thank you for the church. I thank you that it was your idea. It's your design. It's your vehicle to reach this world, God. Father, this is your church, God. And we just pray that each and everything that we do would be your will. God, that we wouldn't run and do anything on a tangent apart from you. Father God, we need you every hour to guide this church, God. It's yours. Have your way with it. We love you, God. I pray that people tonight that are here, Father, you just touch their hearts, get them to commit to be a part of what you're doing. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen.